Luke chapter 23, verses 32 to 43. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. That's with Jesus. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its power, Lord, for its truth. Thank you that you are in control of each and every situation, Lord. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Ephesians 6, verse 18 reads, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." This man crucified beside Jesus, what a moment to pray. And what a prayer. Remember me. This summer we're doing a message series on prayer, looking at different passages in the Bible, asking what can we learn about prayer? In what ways can we increase the priority and the practice of prayer in our lives? How can we align ourselves more fully with God's heart and allow God to transform our hearts through the Holy Spirit? The beauty of prayer, the necessity of prayer, the power of prayer. Today we'll look at the scripture passage we just read in the Gospel of Luke, at the life-changing prayer of one of the criminals who was crucified beside Jesus. Remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. I believe we can learn a number of things from this passage. I want to focus particularly this morning on verses 40 to 43. So Luke 23, 40 to 43. We learn a number of things about prayer. Prayer is for anyone, anywhere. The man in this passage is being brutally executed as a criminal. And he prays. He prays in that moment, "Remember me." Prayer is for everyone, anytime, any place. We also learn that short can be powerful. We're talking about prayer here, not physical stature. Although, I mean, height is not an issue to God. So if you want to go there, short can be powerful. Awesome. I'm with you. But what we're pointing out here is the power of a brief prayer. And certainly longer prayer can be powerful. Solomon's prayer, as an example, it's a fairly long prayer, and it is powerful. But short prayers are also powerful. Short, long, medium. There's power in prayer. And this passage highlights a short prayer. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's the heart that matters in prayer, a repentant heart, a heart seeking to align with Jesus. So we will take a look at all those things, but before we do that, speaking of learning things, I learned a few things last Thursday. Don't be in a rush. Yeah, you're processing it, I can tell. Be careful where you try a U-turn, and most importantly, don't drive into a ditch. I'll say it was an interactive experience in the neighborhood. There's a lot of nice people out there. I mean, many slowed down and asked if I was okay. A neighbor gave me water. I got coned off. You can see the cones by the city worker to help with safety. And finally, a kind stranger hooked up a chain to the back of my car and pulled me out of the ditch. And praise God, the car's driving well and I'm fine. And honestly, I'm not trying for any analogy. I'm just sharing some of my week. But while I was there on the side of the road for a while, I was thinking, this is my own fault. It's my fault, and I can't get out of it. I need help. And if I'm honest, I was fighting those feelings of really feeling less than. I'm not worth that much. I mean, everybody else knows how to drive, and I'm the guy who drove into a ditch. And I'm wondering, do we ever feel like that in prayer? Like I'm just not good enough, or I don't have the right words. Other people do it better. I don't even know where to start. This isn't the right time. But we silence those lies in Jesus' name, because the truth is, it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, where you are now, you can pray. You can pray. You can talk to God anytime, anywhere. In our passage, the situation is a criminal being executed, and it's this amazing image of turning to Jesus. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. You can begin a relationship with Jesus through prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. Come into my life. Remember me. Remember me. We don't know much about the man hanging next to Jesus, his upbringing, what crime or crimes he committed. We don't know. We do know the man spoke about respecting God. Verse 40, "Don't you fear God?" he said. And the man also admitted his guilt. Verse 41, "We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." Perhaps some would have described him as a nobody. Did his life even matter? Well, with God, nobody is a nobody. Jesus said to him, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." And Jesus says to you, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, they with me." Revelation 3, verse 20. When we cry out to Jesus, He answers. When we open the door, Jesus comes in. Anytime, any place, any person. So let's pray. Let's call out. Let's open the door to Jesus. When battling childhood trauma, call out to Jesus. When wrestling with addiction, call out to Jesus. When you're overwhelmed by the busyness, the struggle of everyday life, when life's pressures and demands are beginning to crush you, call out to Jesus. Open the door to Jesus. For the first time, for the 100th time, anyone, anywhere, pray. When we call out to Jesus, Jesus answers. And when we open the door to Jesus, Jesus comes in. And you can pray that prayer even right now, this morning, wherever you are. You can pray the prayer. Come in, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Remember me. I'm going to try something maybe a little different. I'm going to pause right in the middle of this message right now. And I'm going to allow you to have a moment of prayer right where you are. You don't have to raise your hand or get up. It's between you and Jesus. A time to have a heartfelt conversation. Maybe you do want to invite him in. Maybe there's stuff you desperately need help with. Maybe it's a time for you to listen. While we have this moment, I'll just play softly on the keys. So I invite you now to bow your head, close your eyes, open your heart, have an honest conversation with Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And perhaps even in that short moment, perhaps God did something. Sometimes prayer needs time to soak. Sometimes things happen in a moment. If that happened for you, if you like, you can take a prayer card anytime from the chair in front of you, and you can write out a decision you made or how God spoke to you, and perhaps you just want to keep that for yourself now, or if you want to share it with myself or other pastors, you can drop it in the giving box or hand it to me later. Short prayer can be powerful, immensely powerful. Life-changing. Lord, help. Come, Holy Spirit. Your will be done. Short, powerful. And that's good news, isn't it? Because life can be a lot. Sometimes it seems like we've got way too much on our plate. Sometimes all the things are good things, like being a parent or going to work, maybe starting a new job if you're a student, studying. All these things are good when done to honor and bring glory to God, but can still be a lot at times, right? So take those moments, make those moments for prayer. Be intentional, be creative. Maybe while the past is boiling, stand at the stove and pray for your family. Perhaps on the way to work, pray for your colleagues. I used to do that my last year as a teacher. I was able to walk the other years I had to drive my kids everywhere. And then the last year I was able to walk to work, a short walk, and I thought, I need to pray for everyone to where I'm going to right now. Perhaps gardening is your place. You can find those moments to pray. Maybe it's the first 5 minutes of your day. Maybe the last. Maybe right before dinner. God will show you. Ask him. Talk to him. All the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. Short prayers can be powerful because the power of prayer is not based on the eloquence of our language, the organization of our thoughts, even the passion in our voice. Prayer is powerful because God is powerful. And prayer is communion and communication with the all-powerful God, maker of heaven and earth, the one who moves mountains, the one who melts hearts. And in prayer, it's the heart that matters. 1 Samuel 16:7 says, "People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." I'd like to read Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. It's the verses right before the Lord's Prayer. And I really think it speaks to the attitude of our hearts. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 8. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him." Now, this passage doesn't mean that we have to only pray in our room. It's saying that prayer is not a show. It's not about being noticed. It's not about the number of words. It's not about us. Yes, we're certainly involved when we pray, but we should never be the focus of prayer. God is. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And the criminal on the cross had the heart for prayer, a heart of repentance, a heart of allegiance to Jesus. Let's remember what is going on here in Luke 23, 32 to 43. Everything that is happening, this scene, Jesus is being crucified between two criminals, one on his left, the other on his right. And Jesus prays. We did focus on other verses, but let's not forget that Jesus himself prays while hanging in agony, "Father, Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they're dividing up his clothes. They're taunting him, the people, the rulers. He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one. And the soldiers join in. They're mocking him. If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And the other criminal, he offers his insults. Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself. And Jesus hangs there, enduring everything out of love for you and me. And it's a vile scene, these angry people who are taunting Jesus. Arrogance, violence, pretense, anything but repentance. And in stark contrast, this one man who's labeled as a criminal, he says, hold on, just a minute. Don't you fear God? We are punished justly. We're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man, Jesus, he's done nothing wrong. A heart that repents, that confesses sins, that openly acknowledges guilt. This is a heart ready to come to Jesus. This is a heart ready to pray. May God help us to do this. And after admitting his guilt, the man aligns himself with Jesus. He calls out, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Repentance of sin, allegiance to Jesus. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, Peter concludes his message on the day of Pentecost by stating, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And the people ask, they're cut to their hearts, what must we do? The answer, repent and be baptized. The criminal didn't have the opportunity to be baptized, but we do. We do. To publicly declare our allegiance to Jesus. Repent and be baptized. I'll invite the music team up, but as they're coming up, I want to share a couple of thoughts about allegiance, what it actually means, what it looks like. And first is that our allegiance to Jesus is allegiance only to Jesus. It's not Jesus and some other things. Jesus, whatever I feel like. It's only Jesus. That's what baptism signifies. That my sole allegiance, my only allegiance is to Jesus Christ. That I'm willing to leave everything else behind to follow Jesus. And allegiance to Jesus means, Jesus, no matter what, whatever the cost, no matter how hard the road is, I'm committed. My allegiance is to Jesus. Only Jesus, and Jesus, no matter what. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your word. Thank you for this amazing story, the courage of this man in that moment to go the other way, go against what everything was happening, Lord, and turn to Jesus and give his life to Jesus. And thank you for that hope, Lord, that hope that we all have. I ask you to move in people's hearts, Lord, perhaps even now. You are calling, you are inviting someone to pray. Just simply say, remember me, Lord Jesus. Remember me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.